So the message I have this morning is a message I've heard someone shared recently in a devotion, and I thought, I'll unpack it. It touched my life. It was a message that was that talked to me, and I thought, I'll look into it. I want to share it with you guys as well. And as Elizabeth shared this morning as well, what did we do in 2022? How did we share that we need to invite Jesus into our lives? As we looked into our lesson this morning, touch on those same things. My question is, do you have a God in a box? Have you ever placed God in a box? Maybe you've done so in the past. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But sometimes I think we can place God in a box. And we want to use him as we want to use this box. But there are things that I need to get rid of my life. Things that I need to look at. As I look back in 2022, things I want to change and go into 2023. Before we go into the message, I invite you to bow your heads. Our Father who is in heaven, thank you for another day. Not just any day, Sabbath day. A day we can come and glorify you, to worship and give all glory to you for the blessings we've received. Even though we've gone through a week, maybe with big mountains, huge mountains, you were there, right beside us. And I say thank you. Thank you for your guidance. And as we open your word, as a message that touched my life, which I want to share, I ask that it touch others as well. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 to 3. And we'll spend a lot of time in Samuel, basically. So if you can leave your scriptures open at 1 Samuel, and we'll look at chapter 4, 1 to 3 first. And this is Israel is going out in war against the Philistines. They've pitched their tents next to Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched their tents in Aphek. So on the map, I've got it up there. So it's right up there, and that's where the battle was. It's right up there. And the Bible says in verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. Verse 2, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Who was winning? Was it Israelites? No. The Philistines. The Philistines were winning the battle. And verse 3 says, the elders asked, wherefore have the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? The question is, what happened? Why was God not with them that day? Why was he not there in that battle? It says, yet Eli did not manifest the fruits of true repentance. He confessed his guilt, but failed to renounce the sin. Year after year, the Lord delayed his threatened judgments. Much might have been done in those years to redeem the failures of the past, but the aged priests took no effective measure to correct the evils that were polluting the sanctuary of the Lord and leading thousands in Israel to ruin. The forbearance of God caused Hophni and Phinehas to harden their hearts and to become still bolder in transgression. The messages of the warning and reproof to his house were made known by Eli to the whole nation. But this means he hoped counteract in some measure the evil influence of his past neglect. But the warnings were disregarded by the people, as they had been by the priests, the people of surrounding nations also, who were not ignorant of the iniquities openly practiced in Israel, became still bolder in their idolatry and crime. They felt no sense of guilt for their sins, as they would have felt had the Israelites preserved their integrity. But a day of retribution was approaching. God's authority had been set aside, and his worship neglected and despised, and it became necessary for him to interpose that the honor of his name might be maintained. So why was the Israelites losing the battle? God's authority has been put aside. His worship been neglected, despised. They disregarded the warnings. They've hardened their hearts. The question that I ask myself, are we any better today? Are we in the same boat which Israel was? Are we becoming more and more like the world, like the nations around us, influencing us? We're hardening our hearts. It's all about me. It's all about what I want, how I feel, how I see things. We carry on in verse 3. It says, verse 3 continues and says, "Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It may save us out of the hands of our enemies." Who did they believe is going to save them? Was it the Lord or the ark? Was God with them? Surely he was with them, right? Why did they believe they needed to fetch the ark to save them that day? Why did they believe that? Could it be that they believed in a God in a box? That they've been so influenced by the nations around them, by the pagan nations, that they started to worship not God, but a box. Verse 5 continues and says, "And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Their spirits were lifted up when the ark arrived. Their secret weapon was there." They've got their God. They have their God in a box. Surely they win the battle now, right? Verse 6 says, "And the Philistines heard the noise, this shout. They said, 'What meaneth this noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' They questioned it. 'What is that?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp." The Philistines were afraid, for they said that God has come into the camp. They recognized something was different. Verse 7 continues, "And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is coming to the camp.' And they said, 'Woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing before.'" Why were the Philistines so afraid of the God of Israel? Did they have reason to be afraid? Did they remember something? Verse 8 tells us, "Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." Like Pastor Eddie mentioned this morning about the 10 plagues in Egypt. They remembered those 10 plagues. They remember what happened to Egypt. They were afraid. They are next. But yet, the Philistines went into battle. And there was a great battle, a great slaughter. 30,000 men lay dead in the field. But it was not Israel that was victorious. It was the Philistines. The Philistines that day took the ark. Eli's two sons died trying to defend the ark. How much worse could it be? They've lost the battle. And not only that, they've lost the ark. They've lost their God in a box. In former days, there was miracle victories that had been achieved when the ark appeared. It was a shadow by the wings of the golden cherub and the unspeakable glory of Shekinah. The visible symbol of the Most High had rested over in the holies of holies. But now, it had brought no victory. It had not proved a defense on this occasion, and there was mourning throughout Israel. The ark has been captured, and the glory of God has now departed the camp. Verse 22 says, "And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. They have lost their God in a box." They had not realized that their faith was only a nominal faith and had lost its power to prevail with God. The law of God contained in the ark was only a symbol of his presence. But they had cast contempt upon the commandments, had despised their requirements, and had grieved the Spirit of the Lord from among them. When the people obeyed the holy precepts, the Lord was with them to work with them by his infinite power. But when they looked upon the ark and did not associate it with God, nor honor his revealed will by obedience to his law, it could avail them little more than a common box. They looked to the ark as the idolatrous nations looked to their gods, as if possessed in itself the elements of power and salvation. They transgressed the law it contained, for their very worship of the ark led to formalism, hypocrisy, and idolatry. Their sin had separated them from God, and it could not give them the victory until they had repented and forsaken their iniquity. Are we the same today? Do we have a nominal faith? Do we disrespect the commandments? Do we make the precept of God common? Have we placed God in a box? Do we have obedience for the law? Sometimes I feel we get so caught up, I personally get so caught up in the week, in the things of the world. But at least I keep the true Sabbath. At least I go to church. But do I? What is our conversation sometimes on the Sabbath? Is it godly or is it worldly? What time is Sabbath close? Oh, I can't wait because I need to do this. Where is our focus? And not just Sabbath. What about music, dress, sport? We've got all these creeping compromises coming into our lives. Slowly but slowly, we are hardening our hearts. And sometimes only when we need God, we decide we'll need to go fetch that box, just like the Israelites. We are in trouble. We need God. Let's go get the ark. Are we like that? And when we're in trouble, we go to God's word? Or are we walking every day seeking him? 7 days a week, every day, building that relationship with him? Or are our actions leading us into formalism, into hypocrisy, into idolatry? We had in this week's lesson, we looked at Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and Matthew 22 verse 37 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." How do we do that? The lesson referred to Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 and 13 and 1 John 5 verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." How important is the commandments? I think they are very important. If they are important to God, it must be important to me. We'll carry on. We'll turn to chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod." Verse 2, "When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." So the Philistines took the ark to Ashdod and placed it in the house of Dagon. What happened the next day? when they got back into the house of Dagon. Verse 3 says, and when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him up in his place again. Verse 4, the next day, once again, Dagon was on the floor, but this time he was also mutilated. The human parts of the fish parts were broken off. They were destroyed. They got scared. They decided, what did they decide to do next with the ark? They decided to remove it, to take it to an empty building. But soon stress and disease fell upon the citizens of Ashdod. Once again, quickly they decided to move the ark because they remembered the plagues of Egypt. That these plagues are falling on them, they were afraid to being destroyed as the Egyptians. So they moved the ark to Gath. But quickly the plague followed. And once again they moved the ark again to Ekron. Verse 10 says, therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, what did they say? The Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought the ark of God of Israel to us, to slay us, our people. The people of Ekron were in fear. They have brought the ark of God out of Israel unto them to slay them, to kill their people. And the plague followed. So they decided to take the ark and put it in an open field. But soon a plague of mice followed and destroyed the produce of the land. The Philistines acknowledged there was a mysterious power that accompanied the ark. But strange enough, still they hated the God of Israel. They did not turn from their idols and worship the God of Israel. They remembered what the ark has done, what has happened to Egypt. They remembered the plagues. And they could see what's happening now in their own lives. But still, they worshiped their idols rather than the God of Israel. Verse 6 says, wherefore then do you die hard in your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? Is it once again the same as today? People choose to rather have their idols, to depend on the things of this world, than rather than on God. I feel sometimes we are so drunk with the wine of Babylon. We drink so much of it that it's harder to stop. It's harder to see eventually. The less we can reason and less we can see clearly. I feel Satan has done a really good job at that. To ingrain us into this worldly things, to ingrain us into this world, to become so blind to the precepts of God, to His commandments and His will. This was in our bulletin last week, and I want to thank Alan because it made me think. It says, we are 1 year nearer the judgment, nearer eternity, that we are at the beginning of 2022. Are we also nearer to God? Are we watching unto prayer? Another year of the time granted us for labor has rolled into eternity. Every day we have been associating with men and women who are judgment bound. Each day may have been the dividing line for some soul. Each day, someone may have made a decision which will determine his future destiny. What has been our influence over these fellow travelers? What efforts have we put forth to bring them to Christ? What efforts have we done in 2022? What efforts has Israel put in? What has been their influence to the other nations? And it's interesting, all that time that the ark was taken away, that was taken by the Philistines, there has been no effort made by Israel to redeem the ark. Did they repent? Did they come back to God? Let's have a look. Let's carry on. 1 Samuel chapter 6. And verse 7 says, "Now therefore, make a new cart and take two milch kine on which there have came no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring the calves home from them." Verse 8, "And take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart and put the jewels of gold which ye have returned him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go." Verse 9, "And see, if it goeth up the way of its own coast to Beshemesh, that he have done us the great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." What did they do to see if these events were just by chance? Or were they from God of Israel? They took two milk cows that have never been used to pull a cart. Why? Because naturally, the mother will go back to her calves. And if they've never been used to pull a cart, they would not know what to do. They haven't been trained. But once they've been set free, what did the cows do? They turned from their young and, lowing as they went, took the direction to Beshemesh. Guided by no human hand, the patient animals kept on their way. The ark arrived back in Israel. The people rejoiced. The ark has returned. They were thankful. They offered burnt offerings and sacrifices. There was joy in the camp. But all was not well. All Israel had been taught to regard the ark with awe and reverence. When required to remove it from the place to place, the Levites were not so much to look upon it. Only once a year was the high priest permitted to behold the ark. Even the heathen Philistines had not dared to remove its coverings. Angels of heaven, unseen, ever attending in it all its journeys. The irreverent daring of the people at Beshemesh was speedily punished. Many were smitten with sudden death. 1 Samuel 6 verse 19 says, "The people looked into the ark." The survivors were not led by this judgment to repent of their sin, but only to regard the ark with superstitious fear. I found it interesting that not even the Philistines dared to look inside. They acknowledge there was something great about this ark, but still they have not turned away from their idols. Even with this whole experience, we are going back. How God has led it, they still haven't done that. So what did Israel do? Eager to be free from its presence, yet not daring to remove it, they sent a message to the inhabitants of Kiriath-Yearim, inviting them to take it away. With great joy, the men of this place welcomed the sacred chest. They knew that it was a pledge of divine favor to the obedient and faithful. With solemn gladness, they brought the ark into their city and placed it in the house of Abinadab, a Levite. This man appointed his son, Eleazar, to take charge of it, and it remained there for many years. The ark has returned. Did the Israelites repent of their sins by now? Have they returned to God's law? The Israelites as a nation still continued in a state of irregularity and idolatry. And as punishment, they remained in subjection to the Philistines. During this time, Samuel visited cities and villages throughout the land, seeking to turn the hearts of the people to God and their fathers. And his efforts were not without good results. After suffering the oppression of their enemies for 20 years, the Israelites mourned after the Lord. Samuel counseled them, "If ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only." Here we see the practical pity. Hard religion was taught in the days of Samuel, as taught by Christ when he was upon the earth. Without the grace of Christ, the outward form of religion were valueless to ancient Israel. They are the same to modern Israel. There is need today of such revival, of true heart religion. There is a need today of such revival of true heart religion as was experienced by ancient Israel. Repentance is the first step that must be taken by all who would return to God. No one can do this work for another. We must individually humble our souls before God and put away our idols. When we have done all that we can, the Lord will manifest his salvation. 1 Samuel 7, chapter 7, verse 3 says, "And Samuel spoke unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away these strange gods from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines." Did they finally put away their idols? Verse 6, "And they gathered to Mizpeh and drew water and poured out before the Lord and fasted that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. Verse 10, "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." Finally, the battle was over with the Philistines. Israel has won. They have been freed. And our scripture reading this morning, thank you, Life, for stepping in. "Then Samuel took a stone. He set it up between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hereof hath the Lord helped us." Samuel has set up a great stone that day as a memorial that the occasion may never be forgotten, that they remember what has happened. And he called the name of it Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying to the people, "Where have Jehovah helped us?" Have we walked away from God? Is God calling us back? Is he calling us to repent, to turn away from our sins, to examine ourselves? Do we have any idols in our lives? Sins that we need to get rid of? Are we maybe like the Israelites, that we want to go into this battle without repenting, expecting that God will save us, expecting that he will help us, but forgetting his commandments, forgetting his precepts? The work of repentance starts in our own hearts. Christ has given us the opportunities, and he gives us the power to do so. It's only when we give up those idols that we can have that victory. Just like God has saved them that day, God will fight our battles. We just need to repent, return to him. Jared has shared a quote a few weeks back, and that's touched my life as well. That's made me think, and I'll share that this morning. It says, when the testing time shall come, those who have made God's word their rule of life will be revealed. And then, in summer, there is no noticeable difference between evergreens and other trees. But when the blast of winter comes, the evergreens remain unchanged, while the trees are stripped of their foliage. When things go well, we can't see a difference. But when things go wrong, the leaves will fall. My prayer for you today is that you will give up your idols. To give up the things that's in your life that's separating you from God. Ask God to show you what you need to get rid of. To repent. I can pull down. Just pull it out. I'll pull it out. To repent. To obey his precepts. Not to look at these things. Not to look at God's commandments, at these things as just common. As we mentioned earlier today as well, we are at the start of a new year. Let's start this year with God. Just like Samuel went around urging the people to repent, to come back to God, to put his things aside, God is doing with us every time, asking us to repent. Let's not go into this battle without repenting, expecting that God will help us. And then, like Samuel, raise an Ebenezer. Have a memorial in your life, a memorial of victory, a victory of what Christ has done in your life. Do you have an Ebenezer? If not, I encourage you to raise that, to look back, to look at Christ, and to raise him up. And that you can say, Christ has helped me. It's only through Christ we can do this. Just as he provided the helps to the Israelites and helped them and guided them when they returned, he offers the same for us today. That's my prayer to you this morning. Thank you.